good evening. Good to see all of y'all here. Let's go to the Word of God, 1 Corinthians 16. 1 Corinthians 16. We'll pick up where we left off last week. Good to see everybody here in the house of God. Good to see all the kids here. Let's get into the Word of God so they can get a little bit of the Bible and get back home, get ready for school tomorrow. 1 Corinthians 16. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 13. The Bible says there, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. And last week I conveyed to you that we need to have essential Christian growth and development in our lives. We need to develop and get stronger and grow in grace, grow in honor, become more and more Christ-like. And in order to do that, I told you had to have a pure atmosphere. And I talked to you about an example Sunday night about when I was in the Army and about push-ups and sit-ups. I forgot to tell you this. When I first joined, went to basic training, my bunk mate, he was up above me and I was on the bottom bunk. My bunk mate was probably about 6 pounds overweight, according to the Army standards. Well, they weigh us all in, and because he was my bunk mate, we had to do everything together. Well, in order for him to eat and for me to eat, we had to do 50 push-ups and sit-ups before every meal. So they'd bring us all to the front of the line, everybody. It wasn't just me and him, it was everybody's like that. They'd bring us to the front of the line and they'd make us do 50 push-ups and 50 sit-ups before every meal, before we'd ever get in the door. And then once we got in there, everybody else was standing around holding their tray, waiting for the last ones to get the tray. Nobody could sit down. That means the first guy that got his meal could not start eating until the last guy got his. And we all got to our chairs and our tables, and then the drill sergeant would tell everybody, sit down. We sit down in unison. Well, a couple of times, one of the guys would get a little bit hungry, smelling that food sitting there, and he'd stick his finger up and try to eat it. And as soon as we all got there, the drill sergeant run us all the way out. Nobody got to eat. Nobody. They was creating an atmosphere. So, oh, that was abuse. Let me see. That was in 87. Let me see. It's 2017. I'm doing all right. Everything that happens to you is not abuse. It was creating an atmosphere. You got to have a good atmosphere for growth. You know what happened at the end of the, I told y'all before I went to base training, I couldn't do any push-ups. Hardly, almost didn't even make it past the very bare minimum. But when I left, I was able to do, I scored 300. You understand that the whole time I had to do push-ups wasn't for my benefit. I wasn't overweight. It was the other guy was overweight. But you know what I did? I reaped the benefits. On the end of it, I scored a perfect score on the PT test because the atmosphere was created. It's controlled. If you're going to have good growth, you have to have a good atmosphere. It's got to be a pure atmosphere. So we got to make sure we have a good atmosphere about us. And that verse reference was Philippians 4:8. And then I said we had to have a good appetite. A good appetite. I tell you this, when we'd eat a good hearty breakfast there when we first got up, and They never ever, I remember back, I was thinking about this, they never ever ran us out at breakfast time. They never ran us out at evening time. But that middle meal, Brother Jim, that'd be the one they'd do it to us. They'd run us out, that middle one. You know what happened at the end of the day? Good appetite. Hearty. I ate. And I remember when I graduated basic training in AIT and my wife picked me up in New Orleans. Remember, we got married on May 19th. And then I went to straight base training May 20. So I hadn't seen my wife since that was the honeymoon. We got married May 19 and went to base training the next morning. So I hadn't seen her in all that time. So she had got a little restaurant, picked a place to eat, picked me up at the airport. We went over at 8. We sit down and, you know, I was standing there. I was thinking, I was waiting for the drill sergeant to tell me I could sit down. And boy, she sat down, I sat down, and I tell you what, in 2 minutes, I gobbled up everything. They had created an appetite. And that's how we were when we first got saved. We had an appetite for hunger. We hungered and thirsted after righteousness, Matthew 5:6. And then I told you that the best of the food was the bread, the Jesus Christ, the bread of life. And that was John chapter 6 and verse 51. And so you got a pure atmosphere, you got a good appetite, you get the best of the food. I mean, you get the best, you get the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, God could have still sit down manna if he desired and said, you want salvation, go gather up some manna. But he sent the best. He didn't send Gabriel. He didn't send Enoch. Enoch, listen, had a testimony before God. He pleased God. I mean, God just took him up out of the earth. God could have chose, send Enoch back to be the one. But God sent the very best for us to have. And when we get the best, the Lord Jesus Christ in us, it creates a desire for milk, the milk of the Word of God. That's over in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, and that milk. And then there you get to drinking that milk, and before long you start eating some meat, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 2. And you begin to add things to your appetite. And there are some difficult things for the flesh to handle, Brother Johnson, in the Word of God. Sometimes our preconceived ideas, our traditions that we've held for longest, when they're put towards the light of the Word of God, it's hard, like, wow. The Bible said, Jesus said to the Apostle Paul when he met him on Damascus Road, he said, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. I'm going to tell you something, the flesh sometimes, dear friend, when we get to eating that, that's why we can't jump in here just taking up meat. We'll choke to death. We got to be very careful with our young Christians that come around here, that we don't try to force feed them meat. Let me get them a little milk, put a little milk in the bottle, and feed them, disciple them, talk about the little things, the Word of God, the easy things to handle. Let their faith increase. Faith come by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. They have a hunger and thirst. They got the right stuff. We know they're saved because Jesus was presented to them. They put their faith and trust in Him. Their spirit bears witness to your spirit. There's a change that's wrought about into them. Then that meat, that milk, you start giving it to them. You start letting them drink on that milk. And before long, they'll be eating meat, and it'll just be continual growth through the Word of God. Not through creeds, and not through traditions, and not through opinions, not through preferences. Your opinions, your preferences, my preferences, they're not going to grow somebody. The Word of God is going to grow that milk and that meat of the Word of God. And then there's something that we need and found in Malachi. Malachi. Now, I may be wrong about this, but, and if I am, correct me. Perennials, plants talking about. Perennial plants. You plant them one season, they die, and the next season, do they come right back up, Brother Jim? Is that a perennial? Theoretically? Sometimes our Christian life is like that, isn't it? Listen, I'm just being honest with you. We need to bloom year-round. We need to bloom year-round. We need to be putting off year-round. Now, there's fruit that's going to come in a season. But we are God's flower, planted in His garden. And the Bible says in Malachi chapter 4, the book of Malachi, chapter number 4, verse number 2. Malachi chapter 4, verse number 2. I'm still in Matthew. I'm getting over there. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness. You notice the spelling there, S-U-N. The Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, this is referencing the Lord Jesus Christ, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. You've got to have a proper amount of sunlight. Some of us are spending too much time under artificial light. We need the light of Jesus. We just spend a little bit too much time in the shade sometimes. My wife has some plants, I don't even know what they're called, but they're in the house. When the sun changes, or the earth changes, whichever one, something happens. Summertime, the sun comes down that road. But wintertime, the sun moves over and comes down this road. I don't know what happens. Earth tilts, something, sun moves over. I'm not a scientist. I just know that sometime it ain't hitting the same window. My wife had some plants in the living room over there, in the addition there, and man, they were growing good, strong, and healthy. And then the sun changed, and before we know it, she was still watering, still giving them some water, still in the same house, Brother Jim. The same house, Brother Rent, the same people living in there. We didn't even invite some strangers in it. It was the same body funk in there, everybody, the same. Before we know it, the plants start dying. So she said, "Hun, we need to move them things up in the front." Moved up front, guess what they did? Perked right up. Got them back under the sun. You wilting? Got some wilting in your life? Maybe it's because you're not getting the proper sunlight. Jesus, the Son of God. Proper amount of sunlight. We've got to have sunlight. If you're going to grow something, you're going to have sunlight. You're going to have the sun shine on it. The ladies' class gave me an avocado plant for Pastor's Appreciation Month. I asked Brother Jim, you know, where the best place to put it. He read the thing, said, "It's got to be full sun, Pastor. Got to put it on." We put it on this side of the parsonage over here. So we want full sun. Why does it say you got to have full sun? Because that's how that plant grows. You know how we as Christians grow? Full sunlight. Hey, let me tell you, you're going to have to quit putting on sunscreen of the world. Whatever it is, if it's your music, if it's your television, if it's your hobbies, if it's entertainment, quit putting on sunscreen of the world and get the proper amount of sunlight so you can have some growth. No, I mean, wilted plants, they don't look good. But I'm telling you, boy, them plants bloomed up, they look really nice and really good. Why? Because of the proper amount of sun. Look what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're talking about Christian growth and development in our life. And it's not by chance. I'm going to be telling you that. It's not by chance. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. Verse 6. This is what it says here. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Listen, you've got to have the sunlight. You've got to have it to grow. You've got to spend time with Jesus. I would love to tell you. I mean, it would probably boast up my head, be like a puffer fish up here. I'd be like, puffed up. I'd love to tell you that Pastor has enough for you on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, that you don't need no more of Jesus. But I'd be lying to you. Now, there's a lot of preachers and teachers that in this world that says all you need is what they've given you. They're false prophets. You're going to have to spend some time with Jesus yourself. You've got to have it. That proper time, just that time with you and Him alone. And you know, and then you get that proper life. I remember when our children were born. All eight of them were born. I remember the doctor Well, told us we've got to do some tests. First, they're going to take, they took footprints of all their feet and put them on some cards, and then they pricked them and put them on there, and they call it a Reuben Belly. What's that test? Pick a Reuben? Billy Reuben. I'm going to take a Billy Reuben test. I think they're collecting DNA myself. Just telling you. But they're going to collect some Billy Reuben, whatever it is. And then the next day, they say, oh, you're, look at that. The baby's jaundice. What'd they say to do with jaundice? Brother Jim, you got to put it over here, get it by the light. Let the sun shine. Some of the Christians run around here looking jaundice. You're not healthy. Well, how do you know? You stand around grumpy, mad, angry, upset, complaining, murmuring. It's all about you. It's not about the work of the Lord. It's about how you're doing, about how you've been mistreated and so forth and so on. You're not healthy. You're jaundiced. Get in the sunlight. I remember my neighbor, Mr. Paul, over in Louisiana, Vietnam veteran, spent 30 years in the Army, was an infantry, ground troop. They didn't have no mechanized infantry when he was in. He was all foot pounders. Every day he'd walk about 10 miles. Say, what happened? One day I didn't see him, next day I didn't see him. So what's wrong with Mr. Paul? Well, he's had a heart attack. He's got to have open heart surgery. He's in the hospital, and 4 or 5 bypasses are going to have to do him. He healthy, looked healthy as he could be, walked every day. I mean, just, and boy, he just couldn't stand it. He couldn't stand being in the hospital. They told him before he got out, he had to walk a mile. So as soon as he got out of the hospital, I got out of the recovery room, and they briefed him on that. He started walking. His nurse saw him going. Said, Mr. Paul, what are you doing? You done been up and down this hall. I'm going home. Y'all told me I had to walk a mile. He wanted to get out. He wanted to exercise. Look over in Ephesians chapter 5. So you got a good atmosphere. You got a good appetite. You got to have the best of the food. You got to know Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior. You got to hunger and thirst after righteousness. You have to have the proper amount of milk. A desire for the meat of the Word of God, sunshine of Jesus, and you're going to have to exercise. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2. Look what the Bible says there in Ephesians 5, verse 2. And walk in love. You just walk. A little bit of exercise. You know why we're not growing in our faith? Because we're not walking in the faith. Just a little bit. Listen, when you get saved, you're not born into a giant Samson. You're a newborn baby Christ. Eat that milk, eat a little meat, walk a little bit, crawl a little bit. Walk in love. Verse 2, as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. Verse 3, walk in love. Remember that, walk in love. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among the saints as becometh saints. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather give thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, no unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, who hath inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Verse 6, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye are were sometimes in darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Listen, there's places you know God's children don't need to be and be around. Walk up out of there. One lady said on the YouTube the other day, my kid showed me something. She said, we bounced up out of there. When the Holy Spirit of God pricks you and says you shouldn't be here, be around this, bounce on out of there. Walk on out. Walk, exercise. You know how you get away from falling into those same traps? By exercising away from them, walking away from them. Walk, and then it gradually increases. Look what happens in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. Verse number 9. You're walking. Remember I told you if I couldn't do them push-ups, if they'd have made me run 2 miles when I first got there at the base training, man, they'd have sent me back home. They started us out easy, and they gradually worked us into it. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Look what it says in verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all? But one received the prize, so run that ye may obtain. There comes a time in your life, dear friend, you got to learn as a Christian to be able to run. That comes by gradual exercising, building yourself up, walking in faith, walking as Christ, walking away from other things, and you begin to be and become a good soldier of Christ Jesus. And Paul got to the point that I endured hardness. You want to have Christian growth, dear friend? Your atmosphere, your appetite. You got to have the best of the food, the milk, the meat. You got to spend time with Jesus, that sunlight upon you, getting that jaundice out of you. Exercise lightly, gradually building up that exercise so that you can run in the faith. We got a job to do. Matter of fact, so many times, time and time again, the Bible talks about the work of the Lord being labor. It's a job. You gotta have yourself ready for it. Then Mark, and we're done. Mark chapter 6. Pastor, you got me tired just thinking about all this here exercise. Never in my life heard Christians and people get so upset. Man, I ain't going to church. They got hypocrites over there. That's like saying I'm not going down to Publix because they got, hungry people in there. Church is for hypocrites. It's for people that ain't right, but, you know, it's a place we can get right. Mark chapter 6. I ain't going to the gym because they got people that ain't in shape at the gym. Okay. Boy, that makes a lot of sense, don't it? Mark chapter 6, verse 31. And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going. They had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. You got to learn to rest, dear friend. Some of you, the world's got you so busy. I mean, you're just so busy. It's not exercising. It's not in a good atmosphere. You're nibbling a little bit on the Word of God because you know it's what you need. You know, you're trying to get right. You're trying to do things right. You just wore out. You wonder why we can't fight the flesh. Because you just wore out. Got to come apart and rest. And there is no sweeter rest than you taking the yoke of God, the yoke of the Lord Jesus Christ upon you and learn of Him. Matthew 11, His burden's light. I mean, just take it and just rest. Rest in His arms. Some of you got to the point that you wore out trying to do right. And I'm going to just tell you something, dear friend. You can do the right thing the wrong way. You can. You got to rest. You got a good atmosphere. You got to have a good appetite. You got to have the best food. You know, the other day, Benji said, Dad, can you buy me a piece of fruit? I bought him a piece of fruit from the grocery store. I'm from the gas station. He bent it and said, this thing's bad. Wasn't the best of the apples. He didn't want it. I wonder if somebody tastes our Christianity. Would it have a bad texture, leave a bad taste in their mouth. Have the best of the food, you know, clean yourself up, look like a child of God. Listen to me, dear friend, we are children of the King. We're not orphans, stepchildren, we are His children. I mean, we are joint heirs with Christ. Spend some time in the sun, with the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd be careful with that one. Y'all be taking off to the beach next Sunday. Light and exercise and gradually build yourself up and then come around and rest. Because if you don't rest your body, you'll end up tearing muscles. If you don't rest, you'll end up burning yourself out. You won't want to do nothing. Nothing for God. Nothing at all. Brother Jim, you close us in prayer and pray and open us up in a business meeting, please.
Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for these folks you brought safely home to us. We thank you for this message.